And get around the Word together. We're in 1 Peter in a series that I've entitled Alien Nation. What Peter is concerned about in the whole book of 1 Peter is these believers have been dispersed. They've been, because of their love for Jesus Christ and because of their living for Christ in their everyday lives under His Lordship, they've been scattered. And so, you know, like any of us, when we go through hard times, you start to wonder about, am I doing something wrong here? If God's really for me, should my life be this hard? And should I be suffering like this? Peter's answering the question to them and saying, yeah, I mean, if we're going to live for Christ in this world, and we're going to really live for Christ, live full out for Him as His people, as His church in this world, in the everyday, then yeah, we're gonna get pushback, because we're walking upstream. We're living for Christ's kingdom and glory in the everyday right now, and as we do that, we're walking upstream in a downstream world. And so that even though we're a part of what Jesus' cause of love advancing in this world, yet it isn't taken that way by the world a lot of times, and there is friction. And so that's what Peter's been talking about. How do we live as church in the everyday in the midst of a world that literally hates Jesus Christ? Hates Jesus Christ. So I want to start off with a question here this morning. If someone looked at your life or my life closely, what would they say is the one thing we are building our lives upon? What's the one thing, if somebody looked at your life, looked at my life, I don't know, necessarily looking for answers right now. This is more of a contemplative question, I guess, this morning. But that's what it's about. We're talking about, and Peter's going to be talking about, living for Jesus, with Jesus at the very center of our lives, the very foundation of everything in our lives is to be Jesus Christ. That's what it means that Jesus is our cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of our life, both our life individually as followers of Christ or as a family that says and claims and wants to follow Christ, and as a church family that wants to follow Christ. That's what it's all about. And so if people really looked at us closely, what would they say is the thing that you're building your life upon? What Peter's telling us this morning is that if we don't understand who we are in Christ, we won't understand why we exist in this world, and our lives will not be lived for Christ. The key is understanding who we are in Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter is encouraging these suffering believers who have left, who have had to leave their homes and their families because they've got ostracized and they've been pushed out because of their love for Jesus Christ. And he's telling them that this is who we are. This is who you are as a people in this world, and so that is to be expected. We are the temple of the Lord. We are the people who exist to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. That is who we are in Jesus Christ. We are His worshiping people, and as such, our whole lives are built upon Him. Look with me to our text this morning, which is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. And we're going to do just 4 through 5 right now. So as you come to Him, Peter says, as you come to Him, he's talking about Jesus, a living stone. Peter has already called Jesus our living hope and the living Word. Now he's calling Jesus the living stone. A living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's some good stuff there. And he's talking about our identity. If we don't understand who we are, then we won't understand how we're supposed to live or why we exist in this world. And that goes for anything, right? Those are basic questions that everybody asks. Who am I? Why do I exist? Why am I here? Peter is telling them it's all about Jesus Christ. We find our identity not in the things of this world, not in my own self or personality. We want to find our whole identity in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. That's what it means to be give up my life in order to be fully belong to Jesus in this world. And we're going to see that as we go through this text and talk about what the different elements of what Peter's talking about means when we talk about we're the temple of God. But think of the metaphor he's using real quick. If you guys like cartoons, this is kind of this would be one if you want to draw a picture of the sermon. He's saying Jesus is a living stone, and that we are little stones that are being built into a spiritual house. So he's talking about the temple of God. Not made with dead stones, physical stones, rocks, but made and built on the rock of Jesus Christ, the rock that Peter's confession was all about, right? That's what Peter's going back to. So you can see that in Matthew 16, 18, who do men say that I am? We find our identity in who Jesus, in Jesus' identity, right there. Well, you're a good teacher. You're a prophet. But all the things that they said good about him even were he's just a man. I'm not going to give my life to this guy. He's just a man. But then Peter's confession is, you are the Christ, the Messiah, God's chosen one to make all things right. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. Peter he loves that phrase, living. You know, he's always talking about Jesus as a living stone, or as our living hope, or as the living word, because it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one who is alive, who makes all those things come alive, and he's the one who makes the church come alive. And that's the illustration that's going on here. And it's only as you come to him, or you and I as a church, or come to him, and it means come and keep on coming, passionately pursuing Jesus with everything we have, that's when we receive life. That's how we receive life for our souls. Coming to him as you come to him. So active, ongoing action, coming to him, that's our life, pursuing Jesus. A living stone rejected. As you come to him, you yourselves. So only as we come to Jesus, as we pursue him, as we passionately abide in fellowship with him, in his word, in his love, only as we come to him in that way, you yourselves are going to be built up as a spiritual house to be the temple of God in this world. That's what a spiritual house is. It's a house that's filled with the Holy Spirit. And where's the temple now? Is this building a temple? No. Is this building sacred? No. Your heart is, and mine. That's where the temple of God is, and that's what it means to be who we are. We are the worshiping people of God in this world because of our love and pursuit of Jesus Christ, because the only way you get to God and the only way you worship God is through Jesus Christ. And so, what does that do for our everyday lives? When you leave here today, you're probably going to see people. You'll go back to work maybe tomorrow or back to school. But you're still, if you know Jesus Christ, if he is alive within you through the Holy Spirit, you've been born again, then you are a worshiping person, no matter where you go, today, tomorrow, the next day, or no matter who you meet, your identity is you're a worshiper of Jesus Christ in whatever situation he chooses to put you in. And so as we abide in him in everyday life, he is building us more and more to reflect Jesus' glory in this world. And that's just us. We're just ordinary people with an extraordinary God living within us. Right? That's who we are. That's who we are. And so Peter is going on and on about this, but just think how encouraging that is. If you're struggling with anything, or I'm struggling with something, but if I know God is sovereign, Jesus is sovereign over everything, all authority in heaven and earth belong to him, then I'm not suffering with no meaning or purpose in that. My sovereign Lord is putting me through whatever suffering, but it's always for my good, and it's always so that I can be his worshiping witness in the midst of whatever I'm going through, or you're going through, or we're going through as a church. And so that's incredible. We are the people, only people who know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and treasure of life. We are the only people who are the true worshipers of God in this world. Turn with me real quick in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and starting with verse 2. Philippians is a book that's all about worshiping Jesus, right? To live is Christ. To die is gain. Why? Because I get more of Christ when I die. I get to see him then face to face, whereas on this earth I still don't get to see him face to face. I see through shadows, Paul says. So the reason to die is gain is because of Jesus. I get deeper fellowship with Jesus when I die. Anyways, the whole book's about worshiping Jesus. So here's what he says, verse 2. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we, those who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, those who are born again, those who are truly the church of Jesus Christ, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the what? Flesh, in our humanness, in our human strength. And Paul goes on, though I myself could do that because I was humanly a pretty righteous guy. Then verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not that having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings. Do you see how it's all about Jesus? He's a worshiper of Jesus with everything he's got in his everyday life. He understands who he is in Christ. He's a worshiper of Jesus Christ. And that propels him how he lives in this world in the everyday. That's what Peter's saying much the same thing here. And the reason he's saying, you know, we put no confidence in the flesh, we're not like the dogs, the mutilators of the flesh, who think that by outward things that we do, we get a right relationship with God, because we don't. He's saying that all the focus always is always about trusting Jesus, trusting his word, living and dwelling in fellowship with him. That's how we grow as believers in Christ. That's how we grow as a church in Christ. And what Peter and the people that they're being persecuted by, mostly they're being persecuted by Jews. Judaizers, they were called in the New Testament. Jews who had said, yeah, we've received Christ as Savior, but in order to be the complete people of God, you've got to go back under the old covenant. You have to become a Jew. That's going on throughout the whole New Testament, right? That's what they're being told. Yeah, Christ is good, but you got to go back under the law if you want to be really be the people of God in this world. And Peter's saying, no, don't do it. It's only as you come to Christ and you keep on coming to Christ that you are the people of God in this world. Because he's the true Israel. He's the true vine of God. And as we're connected to him, that's what makes us God's people in this world. So we'll go on a little bit more on this and want to get at a couple of the phrases here. So he says, all right, how does that look? So the first thing he basically says is that what does it mean to be the temple of the Lord? In verses 4 and 5, it means our lives are passionately pursuing our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. If we're the temple of the Lord, if we've come into the worship of God through Jesus Christ, then our lives are about worshiping him, and that means our lives are about passionately pursuing Jesus every single day with all that we've got. And our lives are about living in Christ's community and being built up as his spiritual household. These are plural yous that are found in the passage. We are only going to grow up in salvation and grow up as a worshiping people as we do it in community together. So that's why our first two are little words that we use here at Valley to describe what it means to be a follower of Christ. We want to worship him with our lives, and we want to connect in gospel community, in Jesus-centered community. That's what Peter's saying. That's how we grow up in our salvation. We passionately pursue Jesus Christ and worship him alone with our lives together. And our lives are about living together in Christ's community and then being built up as his spiritual household. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities that the Lord has given to us. And we need each other. We need each other in order to continue to grow up in Christ. That's why we're the body of Christ. We need different parts in order to do the work that Jesus has for us in the world as a local church. We need each other, and we need to be together, and we need to live with Jesus at the center in community, living in the love that he has for us, loving one another, and then spreading that love through our gifts and our abilities into the city and the place and time that he's placed us. That's what it means to be the church. That's who we are. That's who we are. So the next question Peter asks here, let me do this real quick. I'm going to save that passage for just a second. The next question in the text that we're in, how do we live as a temple of Jesus in the everyday? So look back at the text to verses 6 through 8. I'll read that for you real quick. So that's what he's asking now. So what does it mean that we're the temple of Jesus in this world? What does that mean? And now, how does that look in our everyday life? What does it look like to live as the temple of God, this spiritual house that has legs and is walking around with a lot of different bricks that are part of the building? All right? So here we go. So back to 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Okay, that's going to be one thing. To be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So let's just stop there. So how we live this way is, first of all, Peter says, we need to live as a holy priesthood. If we understand that we are the worshiping people of Jesus in this world, we are the temple of God in this world, then we want to live as a holy priesthood. So he's still using the temple imagery, right? And in the world. And so basically what that means, what did priests do in the Old Testament? Anybody, what was their job? They made sacrifices. They were mediators between God and people, and they ministered God's plan of salvation in the Old Covenant to the people, right? They were the mediators of God's salvation. That's who they were. That's who we are. Only more so. We're fulfilled because we're in Christ. That system just reflected the new covenant and the kingdom. And so we are now those ambassadors, those priests of Jesus Christ in our everyday life. And it's not me as a pastor, it's any of us who know Jesus Christ personally and who have received him and who he now is our life. We've exchanged our life. The Bible says that, in fact, that's the text. I'll go back to the text now that I had. Let's see if I can do that. For the love of Christ controls us. This is Paul talking to the church in Corinth. He's saying the love of Christ controls all of us. Why? Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all who believe, not all, therefore all have died. So if you're in Christ, you've died. And he died for all, that those who live in Christ might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. He's talking about being born again, right? We've been born again by the love of God being poured out in our hearts, and we no longer belong to ourselves. All about us. We have died to our old sinful self, and we have instead taken on the Holy Spirit has come to dwell us, and he is now at the center and controlling our lives instead of our sinful nature. So we've died to that old self, and we now live for Christ. And so that's why he says, if we're being controlled by the love of Christ, if we love Jesus and we love others in Jesus' name, and we're being controlled by that love, and we're his priests in this world who are the ministers of God's love, that's what it means to be the priest. We're the ministers of God's love and salvation in this world. That's who we are in Christ. Then we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What's the old? Living for myself is the old that has passed away. And the new has come, living for Christ, living in Christ. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So God reconciled us to himself, and now we, as his people in this world, have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's what it means to be a holy priesthood. We are the ministers of God's reconciliation in Christ to other people. Isn't that cool? You are a minister. You are a minister of the gospel to people in your everyday life. That's the privilege we get of being Jesus' worshiping people in this world. I think what Peter's also referring to here is he's thinking back to Jesus' call to be a disciple. Jesus said in Mark 8, in the same chapter, Peter dictated the Gospel of Mark to John Mark, who wrote it down, but it's basically Peter's gospel is what most scholars think. So Peter wrote it. So Mark 8 is where the confession of you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, is found in Mark 8. Right away following that, he talks about, okay, if that's who we've become, if we become the people of God and we're building our lives on the rock of Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then what does that look like? How do we live? And Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, in Mark 8, just right after that passage, you must deny yourself. That relates to the holy priesthood. Priests no longer live to serve themselves. They live to serve Jesus and the gospel. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. We get into that. That's the spiritual sacrifices. Take up your cross and follow after me. Following after Jesus is worship. Passionately pursuing him as your Lord God, and Savior and refuge and strength and everything else that he is. That's our worship. So you got the holy priesthood. I think you get that. Denying ourselves. No longer live for ourselves. It's about how we live in this world. If we're living as Jesus is worshiping people, as the temple of Jesus, is that we're denying ourselves in this world in order to serve the purposes, the gospel purposes of Jesus. Okay? That's the holy priesthood. Sacrificial worshipers. So we live as the temple of Jesus in the everyday as sacrificial worshipers, taking up the cross daily in order to worship him. So back to Peter, he just says, Spirit, he calls these things, you're being built up as a spiritual house to live as a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what it means to take up the cross. We deny ourselves, but taking up the cross or bearing the cross isn't bearing the sufferings of this world, even though we do that. It isn't enduring a cranky spouse. That isn't part of taking up your cross. Taking up your cross always involves our will. We choose to obey Jesus. Taking up the cross is my will is now submitted to Jesus' will. And I live a life of obedience, growing obedience, progressive obedience to him. That's what it means. That's what it means to be a sacrificial worshiper. I'm bowing down everything I am before the throne of Christ. And I'm saying, I no longer belong to myself. I belong to you. My will is yours. I want to do your work in this world, so I'm submitted to Jesus Christ. That's what he means there, to be spiritual, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So we're putting ourselves to death. We're living for the gospel and for Jesus' sake in the world. We're saying yes to Jesus. That's what taking up the cross daily means. Every day, I recommit myself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm yours. You bought me with a price. Command me today. Take up the cross daily in order to then worship him, living every day on the firm foundation of our cornerstone of life, living every day in fellowship with him. That's what worshiping him means, and that's what it means that he's the cornerstone of our lives. That's how we live as Jesus is worshiping people in this world. And if you see in that, and some of us, you might, even if you're a believer in this room, you go, I gotta deny myself. I gotta take up the cross today. Jesus might send me to Africa for all I know. I gotta live every day in fellowship with him, and that's my foundation for everything I am and do. That's not what it's about, right? It's about delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. This is how we do it. I get in the way of delighting in Jesus every day. Your biggest enemy and mine concerning following Jesus tomorrow is me. The sin that still wants to control me. I'm not enslaved to it anymore, but it's indwelling sin that still wants to control me and get me to live for self and get me to live in sin and rebellion against the Lord, building my own kingdom rather than being about living in the freedom that I have in Christ. So I want to deny that self so I get more of Jesus. It's not a begrudging thing. It's a way of delight. It's a way of growing in our delight and fellowship with Jesus in the everyday. That's what it means to be the church. That's what it means to live every day as the church, building our whole lives on the foundation of our fellowship with Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone of the life of God that's being built into your life and to my life as we come to him and keep coming to him. That is so cool. Jesus saves us by grace alone. And then he sanctifies us, helps us to grow into Christ by his grace alone. And his throne, because we know Christ by faith, the throne of God is now the throne of grace, Hebrews tells us. Draw near to the throne of grace to find the help that you need every day to endure and to walk with Christ faithfully. But it's only at that throne of grace, at the feet of Jesus, at the foot of the cross. That's where grace is found. And as we fellowship there with him, he fills us with himself and with the power of his Spirit and enables us to live as the people he has already made us to be. So we work out. We are the children of God. We are the people, worshiping people of Jesus. We work that out in fear and trembling, because it is God, Christ, who is at work in us through the Spirit in order to give us the will and the power to do and live for Christ in the everyday. That's cool. That's what it means to be the church. That's what it means to be the alien nation in this world. And as we live that way, we look radically different. And people who are weary and heavy laden, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me be your Lord. That's what that means. Of all your life. And you'll find that I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's all about just coming to Jesus. He invites us to come. And not for us, for the first time, yes, it's a beautiful thing, but every day of our lives, we're to be coming to Jesus. Because living in our own strength or living in this world is weary and heavy laden. But Jesus promises, as we fellowship with him, to give us rest. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thanks for this morning. Thanks, Lord Jesus, for speaking with us through your word here in this place. And Lord, I pray that your word is living and active, and I pray it would just penetrate minds and hearts in this place, meet us where we're at, take away any distracting thing I might have said or something that wasn't clear or wasn't according to your word, so that your word just penetrates minds and hearts in this place, so that our love for Jesus grows. Our love for the gospel and being gospel ministers in this world grows. And our love for the lost grows. And our love for submitting our lives to Jesus and having him as our Lord and bragging about him as our Lord in the everyday would increase as well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.